there, everybody. It is Thursday, March 14th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send that email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. Much ground to cover on this week's show. We'll have Jody coming at you a little bit later, and we're going to cover all the latest LGBT news and views, a ton of news to cover. But first, I would say that the most number of emails that I've received in the past 2 weeks are people saying, hey, have you seen this YouTube clip? I hope you've watched this YouTube clip. You should be watching this YouTube clip. So I watched the YouTube clip, and I said, well, heck, that pretty much pertains to what it is that we do here at This Show Is So Gay. So I reached out to the individual in that clip, and I'm proud to introduce her to you here. Ash Beckham, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi, Ken.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. I am a little bit humbled and frozen by this the way this exploded, but it's trying to soak it up as much as I can.
Well, let's give you more time to talk about it. See, now, normally I give a whole introduction to our guests, but I have to tell you, researching you online, it's amazing how many different things people call you. I've seen you're an advocate for LGBTQ acceptance in schools. I like the sites that just say a lesbian, which
right.
apparently encapsulates everything. I've seen,
absolutely.
I've seen a plate spinner. I've seen a ton. How would you describe what it is that you do?
Well, I would say before 10 days ago, I was just a lesbian in Boulder who did event work. I have a small family business with my mom and dad. We put on a kids softball tournament back in the Midwest. And,
nice.
And I do a little bit of event freelancing on the side. And it's certainly been active in the LGBTQ community for a long time, but I don't know if activist is really would have been an appropriate title, but now it's one that I am honored to carry.
Ash, everything that you just said is what I would call before. But now, so let's move back, and we're going to link to the clip. If folks haven't seen it, they are not one of the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of folks who have watched this online. But let's back up a step. All right, so you're at this event. What is it called? Ignite Boulder? Boulder Ignite?
It's Boulder Ignite, a great organization. It's an international organization that has local chapters run by volunteers, and they vary the rules slightly from group to group, but essentially this is one that happens in Boulder. I was at the one that was their 20th iteration of it, and the concept is you've got 5 minutes to talk about anything you want. You get 20 static slides that it's auto-advance every 15 seconds, so you kind of have to be on it, which really gave me a great resource, and I guess a great means to make it a very succinct presentation, because it had to fit there was so much material to convey that the images, which I think is what resonated with a lot of the folks as part of the humor of it, really had to carry a lot of the story because of the time constraint that it was in. So, that was kind of how it happened and where it came from. And then it was, you know, kind of a little bit wildfire after that.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But still, you got 5 minutes to talk about something. You decided I am going to talk about how people use the word gay.
Right. Well, I had gone with a buddy in December and had seen somebody do this really heartfelt version of his Ignite speech. He was the guy that opened it up, and it was his kind of ups and downs with weight loss, and certainly something you don't hear from guys a lot. And he was so incredibly passionate and a little bit awkward and extremely charming in his awkwardness. And I was like, I can do this. I can do awkward and I can do... Hopefully I can do awkwardly charming. So he was the one that resonated with me the most and was with a friend of mine, and we kind of had to go last minute, got tickets at the door. We didn't really have tickets. And I was like, this is cool. We can do this. There's something here for gay kids, or maybe it's maybe we do an app or something that gay kids have this venue or medium, I guess, where they can connect about how things are hard. And, you know, I just committed to, hey, I'm going to do the next one, expecting it to be in about 6 months. Well, about 4 weeks later, up on their website came the next version of it, and that was going to be in February.
Okay.
And it was a nomination process, so I called up another buddy of mine and had said, hey, can you nominate me for this thing? make me sound awesome. And she had said, well, what are you going to do now? I said, I don't know, probably gay, something gay. I don't know. That's what I'm most passionate about and what's easiest for me to talk about. And the folks that I felt were the best speakers were, you know, things that they were passionate about. And you can't, I think there's something really endearing about genuineness. And so I, something like that. She's like, well, do you want me to tell them it's going to be gay, not gay, whatever? And I was like, I don't know. And by the time I got back to her, she's like, too late. I already sent it. And no. I didn't tell them what your topic was. So then maybe a week and a half later, I get an email from the organization that said, hey, you get nominated for this. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about doing? Give me a little basics. And so I had originally started with tolerance versus acceptance and kind of making this move to a more of that as a concept. And what are we striving for? And what are next steps for us as a community? And then the incident happened at the gym as this whole thing was developing, and I was like, that's it. That's the topic. That's what I want to talk about. That's, I think, what is resonating. And then the more research I did on that is there's just this plethora of resources and so many people doing such good work around making that change and nailing that, especially particularly in schools, that people, you know, there's so many folks that are preaching that and that it's everybody's taking, people are starting to take responsibility of the work, and just so many images and really well done marketing and making it approachable. So that was through that research and kind of identifying myself with that end of it, made the decision of like, okay, this is how it becomes personal to me, and that tolerance acceptance as a goal is something that I would, you know, want people to see, but this is the work that needs to get out, and I have this, you know, 850 people to tell this story to, and they would certainly, I feel like it would, in Boulder specifically, because that was the scope that I was working with, it would be an accepted story, and it would be something that people would be willing to talk about, and, you know, maybe we can just make a little bit of change here, because these are where my friend's kids are going to go to school,
right.
And we need to make a better environment in that way, so.
Those 850 people seemed really into what you were saying. It sounded like just an amazing audience.
Well, I did. I will say that I had a fair sprinkling of my friends in there.
Nice.
I had all my buddies. You know, it was February, and everybody. I didn't even know I had this many friends with scarves because they were trying to save all these seats together so I could get my like 25 people. And they just, and I was like, I didn't even know you had a scarf and gloves and hats and like so many things to spread out to kind of take up the space. But, you know, Boulder's a really great spot and a really accepting place.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I was the last talk of the night, which was a little bit of, you know, took a fair amount of responsibility, I feel like. And there was a certain burden with that, but it was the organizers put a lot of faith in me, I think, and what the topic was, and believed that it would resonate. And plus, at that point, they had a few, you know, the crowd had a few drinks in them, so they had been there a while. So
love that.
A little bit raucous, but also, it's, you know, it's a community that strives for a battle cry and, you know, wants to get out there and do the right thing. And I feel like the whole part of this topic is like folks that say gay in that way, the vast majority of them specifically in Boulder, because it's a pretty liberal town, are not trying to be cruel and are not trying to be, you know, mean or degrading or homophobic. It's just what they say. And so the connection here, I at least felt like, and obviously has been true around the country, is that when you have people that are doing it in an intentional way, it's a really hard leap to get them to come around. But the people that don't know the effect of the words that they choose, to get them to be conscious of it, to make that flip is simple. That, I mean, those are baby steps. And that to me is this basis of making change happen.
But what I have discovered is that you can have a really powerful message, but people really listen when you have clip art.
Right. Unquestionably, for sure.
I think that's proven. And again, I'm going to link to it, and so folks go watch it. And, you know, I was going to play a clip, but it just doesn't do it justice. You have to watch the whole 5 minutes. As I told you earlier today, look, this was my doctoral work. This is what I researched.
Right.
And you did it in 5 minutes. And yes, it was entertaining, but I was a little bit bitter that you were able to do it in 5 minutes and much more effectively than I did in 200 pages. But I'm working through that. I'm working through that. Okay, so you do this, you do your 5 minutes, so we got the pre, and we got the actual action, where you're doing your 5 minutes, and everybody's drinking, and they all have scarves, and everybody's entertaining, being entertained. And then someone's filming. Did you know someone was filming it?
Yeah, well, they had said they do a live stream of it.
Okay.
I think you stream. And so I have friends just, I grew up in Ohio, and my parents, a lot of time my sister's in Chicago. Like, I had a fair amount of folks where I was like, hey, check this thing out that I'm doing.
Okay.
It's a little bit crazy. And I know that I don't really, I'm not a public speaker, but it's going to be fun. So check it out. So there was, you know, another 2 dozen folks that were watching it online. So I knew, and I had seen it before. They, Ignite Boulder, if you go to their YouTube channel, has every other Ignite Spark is what they call each individual clip that's ever been done. So to see inspiration and find people that I could relate to and that I thought did a really good job, I had watched all of them. So I knew eventually they would take it and clip it in, and it's not the raw footage that you saw in the stream. They bring in the slides a little bit, and they have a better mastering of the audio, because it was a pretty loud crowd. So
yeah.
Like the whole last slide, no one could hear what I was saying, but they were able to put that on the video to convey that, because they had, you know, they had the audio. So, yeah. So anyway, that was, I knew that it was going to be recorded and that it would eventually be up. And I had a couple friends that were out of town or for whatever reason couldn't make it. So I just wanted to be able to, you know, send them the clip and be like, hey, I know you missed it and I know you want to see it. So here it is. So awesome that it's on YouTube.
Ash, and then what happened?
And then I,
like,
you know,
how did I, you know, everybody wants the recipe, but it's just, it was fantastic just to see, oh my gosh, this is being shared all over the place, and just really gratifying for me, because my gosh, do I want people engaged on this topic. But there had to be a part of you that's like, what is happening?
Right. Most certainly. And I was on my way to do a project that had nothing to do with this. That was one of my, freelance jobs, and this thing, it's kind of exploding. So, you know, the feedback from my friends was really great, and from folks that were there that actually saw the talk was amazing. Like, people were really supportive that had seen it live, and, oh, yeah, there'll be a YouTube clip. And then, I wasn't a huge social media person, but put it out there, and then and it started to kind of catch fire a little bit. And then Adam Mordecai, who's a guy with Upworthy.
Yeah.
Emailed me and said, hey, you need to check this out. We're going to put this up. Can you, do you want to be associated with a nonprofit? And I was like, well, sure. You know, there's BCAP in Boulder, and it's a Boulder Community AIDS Project, and they're great. And then the center is another organization in Denver.
Okay.
And they're great. And he's like, it's going to get about 200,000 hits. So how about if you pick something national? And I was like, all right, well, awesome. I don't even know what that means. And obviously there's no way that's actually going to get that. So thanks for your, thanks for that, Adam, but I'm not really that worried about it. So we, did a little bit of research, and I had gotten a bunch of information from Glisten,
yeah,
who was great. And so I was like, oh yeah, those guys are great. Let's give them a shout out. And then, maybe later that night, I landed in L.A. and got a text from my friend that said, oh my, all it was the Huffington Post link. And I was like, oh my God, Huffington Post? Freaking out, I emailed Adam back, and I'm like, oh my God, Huffington Post, why did you tell me that's what it was going to be? He's like, oh, that's not me. They just picked it up. Our thing's not happening until tomorrow. And I was like, okay, that's great. And then all of a sudden, I'm a little lesbian, and I played sports, so I'm competitive. So I went through all of the Boulder Ignite speech. It was like, okay, 3,000 was like the most Boulder Ignite hits it had ever gotten. And then finally found one that was like 10,000. So I'm texting my sister. I'm like, okay, we're shooting for 10,000. I don't really know how it's going to go. We'll just see. Maybe this thing will take off. And if we can do that, it'll be great. And within 48 hours, it had topped 100,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuff. And I had people throughout my life are contacting me. I haven't talked to them in years, and they had, everybody was, nothing but supportive, and no one can kind of believe this happened. And I'm not home. I'm like at this event in California.
Yeah.
So like wasn't with my people, which was like a little bit challenging. So people are flipping out back home.
Wow.
About where it's going and what the numbers look like. And then Ignite, God love them, put out this, graphic. It was like, let's make Ash Beckham's Ignite the most watched Ignite ever.
And then I would assume that goal was indeed reached, of it being the most watched Ignite video ever. As I said, hundreds of thousands of views, Ash. It's so exciting. I guess the question is, does this change your trajectory at all? You know, you were going down a certain path and then this happened and you did this. Does it change your path? You don't need to know yet. You don't need to know yet. Right. It's just generally.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like, you know, 10 days ago, the only people I could get to listen to me when I stood up and talked were my buddies that I made listen to me at the bar. Like, it wasn't really a very highly recruited person to speak, but now I feel like there's a lot of folks that are that are on board with it and that believe in the message. And if I can in any way be somebody that helps convey that or you know, carries that for just a little bit, I would be, you know, more than honored to fit. But at the same time, like, I'm not a trust funder, so I got to figure out a way to do it and have it still work. So
right.
I'm talking with a bunch of organizations that are around here and have just been, you know, gotten just huge bear hugs from the whole community, from everybody from, you know, we want to bring you up to our middle school in Nova Scotia to, you know, family equality, to everybody else that is on board with being creative and trying to figure out how to do it and what's the message and how does it develop. And so I'm talking at a few schools around here.
Well, look, Ash, you embody everything that we have been talking about on this show Is So Gay for so many years. An individual using their voice in a unique way, in a voice that is authentic to them, with a message. You had a message. You had something to say. You wanted to get that across. You did not conform to the way that people would say, this is how you should present this. You used your voice, and it so clearly resonated with people. Not just with the 850 people in front of you, but with hundreds of thousands of folks all across the world. And that, look, that's what happens when people use their voice in their own way. Even as I watched the 5 minutes and I felt like all you were really trying to say was, Ken, you should have used more clip art in your dissertation.
Exactly. I can get you that peppermint patty. Or peppermint patty Marcy one if you want. You let me know.
Ash Beckham, please keep us posted on everything you're doing.
I will, for sure, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye, Ken.
It's been a long, dark night, and I've been waiting for the morning. It's been a long, hard fight, but I see a brand new day dawning. I've been looking for the sunshine.
Well, I am joined by Jody Clark. Hi, Jody Clark.
Hello, Ken Schnack.
We have so much gay news to cover. We have to do it in two segments, but we have a ton.
Wow.
We have a ton. But before we get to the news, Jody and I need to pause and wish one of our favorite people a very happy birthday. Here's our birthday shout out, to Jody Clark. Jody Clark, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You turned 38 again.
Sure. Yeah, whatever you say.
We'll go with 38. Go with 38.
I'm actually quite proud to be 40.
Are you 40?
I really am 40, and I'm really happy about
it. Look at that. 40 and fabulous.
That's right.
And oh so gay.
Exactly.
All right. Happy birthday to Jody. If you want to send Jody a happy birthday wish, Jody@thisshowisogay.com. Well, like I said, a ton of stuff to cover, and we're going to devote this entire first part, one of two parts, to the Boy Scouts.
Oh.
Because the Boy Scouts of America, who are considering the change, as we've covered every single week, to their longstanding policy against allowing openly gay members, they have sent out a questionnaire.
Huh.
They have sent out a questionnaire. They're calling this their listening phase. So
okay.
They sent out this questionnaire to get more feedback, to review a number of issues. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I have a copy of the survey, and I thought we could go through some of these questions because they're fascinating. I really want to do this in depth because this is what they are determining their decision on in their listening phase.
Okay.
So it's a whole series of scenarios.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Johnny, a first grade boy, has joined Tiger Cubs with his friends. Johnny's friends and their parents unanimously nominate Johnny's mom, who is known by them to be a lesbian. To be lesbian, by the way, not a lesbian. So let's get that one, because that's interesting phrasing. So Johnny's friends and their parents unanimously nominate Johnny's mom, who is known by them to be lesbian, to be the den leader. Johnny's pack is chartered to a church where the doctrine of faith does not teach that homosexuality is wrong. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for his mother to serve as a den leader for his Cub Scout den? So then you have the spectrum, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh.
So that's question number one.
Okay.
What do you think? Totally acceptable or totally unacceptable?
Well, I think it's perfectly fine.
Okay. You say that because you're gay and 40.
Yeah, that's it.
Scenario number two. A troop is chartered by an organization that does not believe homosexuality is wrong and allows gays to be ministers. The youth minister traditionally serves as the scout master for the troop. The congregation hires a youth minister who is gay. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for this youth minister to serve as the scoutmaster?
It's fine.
Well, it's just so interesting. You even look at that one, and it's not about leadership.
Right.
It's about, okay, we have to front load this question with they're chartered by an organization that does not believe homosexuality is wrong. Which, by the way, can we pause on the fact that you're going to hear the word homosexuality quite a bit? So biblical, loaded.
Yeah,
but ostensibly, and I think we'll get to this in some of the other questions, if they were chartered by an organization that thought homosexuality was wrong, then you would answer differently. That's some of the premise of the question.
Which is interesting.
That's question two. Question three. A gay male troop leader, along with another adult leader, is taking a group of boys on a camping trip following the youth protection guidelines of 2-deep leadership. We do that. You and I do like 2-deep leadership.
Yeah.
Is that something you've heard of, 2-deep leadership? Is that a thing?
I actually have not heard it called that, but I totally understand that. And teachers do that all the time.
Look at that.
All the time.
Well, then here's the question. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the gay adult leader to take adolescent boys on an overnight camping trip? These are such loaded questions.
Yeah.
I'm doing all of them.
We're
spending time on this. We're going to spend time on all these.
Wow. Okay.
All right. David, we've named him now.
Yeah. Okay.
A Boy Scout believes that homosexuality is wrong. Mm-hmm. His troop is chartered to a church where the doctrine of that faith also teaches that homosexuality is wrong. Steve, and I'm sorry, the fact that Steve is the openly gay youth, I think that's funny. But Steve, they had done some consulting, I assume. Steve, an openly gay youth, applies to be a member in the troop and is denied membership. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for this troop to deny Steve membership in their troop?
It's unacceptable.
Why does David actually even play into that scenario?
I don't know.
So David, a Boy Scout, believes that homosexuality is wrong.
Yeah.
His troop is chartered to a church. Isn't there a larger question about the fact that the troop is chartered to a church? David actually doesn't come up again in this scenario. So why does it matter that David... So what they're saying is that it makes a difference that one of the Boy Scouts in that troop believes that homosexuality is wrong.
That is what they're saying, They're saying that his beliefs trump the membership of this openly gay kid.
And so it makes it, you know, it's not just enough that they're chartered to a church that believes that homosexuality is wrong. The fact that one of their members also agrees, that's big.
That's the big thing.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Can we keep going? I'm enjoying
yeah,
this.
Okay.
I'm fascinated
yeah.
by this.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob is 15 years old and the only openly gay scout in a Boy Scout troop. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the troop leader to allow Bob to tent with a heterosexual boy on an overnight camping
trip? Oh, my gosh. Really? Really?
That's why we're doing this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
this is so...
But there's more.
Oh, God. Oh.
Tom. You know Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom started in the program as a Tiger Cub and yeah. finished every requirement for the Eagle Scout Award of 16 years of age.
Oh.
The next part should just say, is it acceptable to congratulate Tom? But that is not what this is.
Uh-huh.
At his board of review, Tom reveals that he is gay.
Okay.
Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the review board to deny his Eagle Scout Award based on that admission? This is
wow.
the survey on which they're
wow.
using.
Wow. This is, wow.
There
okay.
are three follow-up questions to the word problems. Now that you have seen, I swear to you, I quote, now that you have seen several scenarios related to what has happened or could happen in scouting, please answer one question again. The current Boy Scouts of America requirements prohibit open homosexuals, which, by the way, how crazy is that phrase that they're using? But, to quote, the current Boy Scouts of America requirements prohibit open homosexuals, I can't get past it,
it's pretty
from
bad.
Being scouts or adult scout leaders, to what extent do you support or oppose this requirement? So there's that, and then there's two
yeah,
other pieces.
Yeah.
Do you believe the current policy prohibiting open homosexuals... I'm going to start calling myself that. I'm
See,
an open homosexual.
See, this sounds kind of gross.
From, and it's not even out.
No.
It's not even, it's open homosexuals. Well, but that's the thing. That's the whole, okay.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to make it sound gross. They're trying to make it sound, see, how can you at all approve of something that is so detestable?
Do you believe, Fabulous and 40, that the current policy prohibiting open sexuals, open homosexuals,
open
sorry. See, I'm playing into it. It's bad. Open.
People who openly have sex in the Boy Scouts, do you approve of that? Yes or no?
That's not the question. Is it,
uh-huh.
is it acceptable
uh-huh.
or unacceptable?
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're going to be like, look, we tried to change it, but then that gay radio show called it open sexuals. I'm not even going to edit that out. Let me read the whole question because it's so loaded.
Okay.
Do you believe the current policy prohibiting open homosexuals from being scouts or adult scout leaders is a core value of scouting found in the scout oath and law? Well,
whoa.
And then the last question, different organizations that charter Boy Scout troops have different positions on the morality of homosexuality. Do you support or oppose allowing charter organizations to follow their own beliefs when selecting Boy Scout members and adult leaders, if that means there will be different standards from one organization to the next? I think that is actually one of the more interesting, well, they're all interesting.
Right.
That one's pretty messed up because they are allowing for the possibility of... I don't want to say diluting, but certainly, because I don't mean that, but certainly changing what the organization means from place to place. And
which, that's bad.
I'm surprised that they would even ask that
question. I think that's bad. That I'm actually now curious what the Girl Scouts has to say about all
yeah.
this and how different Girl Scout troops are established and what their relationships are with their host organizations. Because from my understanding, and I don't know a whole lot, I know a lot of people who are involved and mm-hmm. love it, but my understanding is that this is not an issue. This
yeah.
is simply not an issue. And that they are open and accepting of all girls and their families, and it's very empowering, and there's no question about, yeah, this is a good idea for girls to be a part of, and all
right.
girls are a part of this if they want to.
I'm getting new business cards that say Ken Schneck, PhD, open homosexual, and then underneath that, at times open sexual.
Nice. Yeah, that's
that
good.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that sounds really bad. That's really bad. It sounds like you're
I'm
trying...
I'm employable.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah, on
All
Craigslist,
right.
maybe.
That, wow. She's gotten a little snarky in her advanced age, it seems.
Oh, it's the survey. It's making me snarky.
All right. Well, that is our Boy Scout segment. We are going to play a couple seconds of music, and we're going to come back, and we have a ton of other news to get to.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Boys, I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. I wanna leave you, really. I've invested too much time to give you up that easy. To the doubts that complicate your mind, we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words before falling.
All right. As I said, we have a ton more news to get to. Jody's still here with us. There are times that you and I do a news segment, and then I realize I need more minutes for the show.
Yeah.
And so I record it by myself, and I say things like, Jody had to leave.
Oh, no.
So I just wanted to tell you that.
Oh, no.
Because I wanted to out myself for that. I'm like, Jody had to go. She didn't want to be here anymore.
Because something suddenly came up. It's very, very Marcia Brady.
But
suddenly came up.
The real fact is it's 10 o'clock at night and I had to record a few more minutes. And, you know, Jody actually does have a life. So there's that. So I will be very upfront. And I know you know this, but I wasn't even going to do an episode this week. We've been doing new episodes for the past 15 episodes. So I kind of want to take a break. But one of the reasons that I want to do a new episode this week is because this Huffington Post thing
that I wrote
has taken off to a degree that I did not intend.
Yeah.
Last week, on last week's show, we spoke with Professor Dave McCree, professor of theater at Sarah Lawrence College, and a couple Sarah Lawrence students, Sarah Lawrence seniors, Cody and David, and the Sarah Lawrence students had gotten together and they started a petition. If you get 100,000 signatures on these White House petitions, then the White House has to respond. They have to issue some sort of statement.
Right.
And it used to be, I think the threshold was something like 20,000 or something like that. But then they realized, oh gosh, people are reaching that threshold really easily, and we have to comment on whether or not the Klingons should get married to humans. And so they upped it to 100,000, which is difficult. I mean, it's as in some ways it should be.
Right. It should be.
I listened to the Bill Press show in the morning. I don't know if you've ever listened to that. I listen to it every morning on my way to work, and they talk about this often. And say it should just be abolished altogether, that this is not the way our government should work, is that you can use and master social media and get 100,000 signatures and be able to trigger a response from the White House. I actually think it's kind of cool that they do this.
I think it's kind of cool.
I think that the threshold being higher. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we had them on last week's show, and you can go to thisshowissogay.com and listen to last week's show and hear them talk about why they started this petition. And then so what I said was, look, I'll do two things for you. I'll do three things for you. I will put you on the radio show. So they were on the radio show. I will send out the petition link to some past guests of this show, So Gay. And I sent out to a few, and they've all been just incredible, incredible. Daniel Gray, singer-songwriter Daniel Gray posted it, and Dick of Dick and Dwayne posted it, and a ton of other folks posted it. So very, very appreciative. And I said I would write my next Huffington Post piece on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is piece number like 13 or 14 for me. You know, I've been writing these for about 8 or 9 months. And what I have learned is the longer I spend writing a piece, the less attention that it gets. There is a direct or indirect relationship between those two things. This Blood Drive piece, as much as I stand by every single thing that I wrote that in maybe like 20, 30 minutes and just dashed it off. In the past 23 hours that has been posted to the Huffington Post, it has received more comments and likes and shares than my other 14 pieces combined in the past 8 months.
Oh, my gosh.
All other 14 pieces. So clearly, I said on Facebook, I struck a nerve. And then a shout out to Ann Ryder, one of my tennis buddies, who said, oh, no, you struck a vein. That was very clever. Good job, Ann Ryder. So it's really hit upon something. And I had written a previous piece on Blood Drives. I had said when the Chick-fil-A thing came out, I had written, hey, instead of banning Chick-fil-A, which many college campuses have done, which, by the way, Emory just did yesterday. So oh. Emory University, the Chick-fil-A thing keeps on clucking.
Yeah.
And so they banned Chick-fil-A. But I said, instead of banning Chick-fil-A, how about banning Blood Drives? And that got some attention.
Mm-hmm.
But and a lot of attention compared to my other pieces, nothing compared to this.
Yeah.
Shared and liked thousands and thousands of times, and I'm getting emails from all over the world. So clearly we have, yes, opened up a vein on this one. Fascinating replies from people. Some folks saying, well, it shouldn't be a ban, but it should be a one-year deferral period, which it is for some other things. And that's, I'm interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to endorse that or not endorse that. All I am endorsing is a dialogue.
Yeah.
And endorsing there not being a ban.
Yeah.
Because a ban is just too much.
Yeah.
And a dialogue, if a dialogue emerges and we say, okay, a 1 year, I'd be interested to participate in that dialogue. So that, which would mean then a 1 year ban, if you've had sex with another man in the past year, or if you're a woman who's had sex with a man in the past year, mm-hmm. you are ineligible to donate, which somehow ties together that when you're having sex, as an open sexual, that please see the previous segment, that you are thinking to yourself, oh, I should probably stop because then I can't give blood. But I guess that's not really what it is. It's just saying, okay, I have had sex in the past year, which does mimic some other guidelines. So I'm interested in that.
Mm.
That's somewhat productive. So you have, the responses have been, you're right, get rid of the ban.
Yeah.
No, maybe there should be a one-year deferral period, which again, a deferral period has a different connotation than ban, mm-hmm. so I'm kind of for that.
Yeah.
And then there have been the other responses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let me just say, I have received some lovely emails. And again, this has been up for 24 hours. You can easily find it on Huffington Post. They know it's the gift that keeps on giving. So they've kept it on top there. But it's Dear White House and the ban on gay men giving blood now, please. And so you can easily find it there and we'll link to it. But so I've received some lovely emails, and I guess what they can easily do is see, oh, he's an employee of Marlboro College and his email address is readily accessible. So we're just going to email him there.
Right.
So they all come to my work email, which is what it is.
And
some of them were lovely. Some of them are not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow. What some people say. And I have to say, I actually got into it. Did I tell you this yesterday? I got into it with someone on my brother's Facebook
page. Oh, yes,
you
did tell me. Yeah,
and I told you what that person said.
Yeah.
There is some crazy stuff that people are saying. And so here's my observation and for your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I have a harder time with the really negative responses, comments, the ones that come from our fellow gays.
Yeah.
The fellow gays who are writing things like, gay people are, we have to just admit that gay people are promiscuous. I'm not even going to read any of the comments, but
they
amount to gay people are promiscuous and we bring it upon ourselves. And until we can change our own behavior, we should be banned. And it's like, man, I can respond to the openly heterosexuals and say to them, okay, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but
to the
gay people, I've actually started commenting, and Huffington Post likes when you comment on other people's comments, and I'm kind of ambivalent about that, except that I have been responding to every gay person saying, please do not speak for this whole community.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to speak for this whole community,
no.
But you sure as hell cannot.
Right.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Very much so.
So I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that piece, but I enjoy that so much attention on this. And they're at 10,000 signatures, and there certainly was a nice little bump in the past 24 hours, and I'd like to believe that I was responsible for at least 10 or 20 of those. But they have a lot more work to do to get to 100,000. But their whole idea was they intentionally did this during March because their two-week spring break starts next week.
Mm.
So they are, like, the same way that we tell our students, go back to your high schools and get more students to come to Marlboro College.
Yep.
They're going back and really spreading the word about this. And
that's great.
So hopefully that's they're great. At 10,000. They have 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, close to 3 weeks until the end of the month. And so they got to get to 100,000. So if you want to help them get to 100,000, go find the petition. It's really easy to find and we will link to it. So there's that.
Yeah.
New York City, where I am from and also not from, but I say that I'm from on this show and spend a lot of time there.
Yeah.
Did you see Christine Quinn? Christine Quinn, who is the openly lesbian speaker of the New York City Council.
Oh.
Or, as the Boy Scouts would say, openly lesbian.
Yeah.
She is on a walking tour because she has announced her candidacy to be New York City mayor.
Ooh.
It's very exciting.
Very cool.
She would not only be the first out gay person, and holy cow, are there a lot of stories about, who just died? Ed Koch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and folks saying that he really was gay but was never out. A lot of stories about that.
Huh.
She would not only be the first out person, but can we not too quickly gloss over the fact that she would also be the first female mayor of New York City, which is surprising.
Wow, that is surprising.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there's that. And then you look at – so you go from New York City and look at New York City, and then you look at South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
which I've been to.
I have been there, too.
Charleston County Councilwoman Colleen Condon – she came out last week. Okay, so that's great.
Yeah, good for her.
She now is the only openly LGBT elected official in the entire state of South Carolina.
Wow.
That seems insane.
It does.
That seems insane. We were looking, we had our town meeting elections last week, and for the Brattleboro Select Board election, there was the possibility that the majority of the Brattleboro elected Select Board would be gay. And it didn't pan out that way, but
right.
we had some great candidates. That's just one town in all
right.
of Vermont, which, again, yes, Vermont is disproportionately LGBT-friendly, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we have so many out representatives. This is not – we're not even talking about South Carolina state representative or state senator
right.
or
right.
congressperson or whatnot or even a mayor. We're talking about the Charleston County councilwoman.
Right.
So I don't know. That just struck me for some reason. It's
yeah.
like, wow, really?
Yeah.
The only one? I mean, kudos.
Yeah.
Yay. Good,
good
job.
Yeah.
Councilwoman Colleen Condon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But surprising. She is the only one in all of South Carolina.
Wow.
So there was a poll this week. So on last week's show, I had to cover the story after you had to run out. I covered the story.
Something suddenly came up. Sorry.
I covered the story of the florist who in Washington State, told her longtime client, one of her longtime patrons, I'm so sorry, I think you're amazing, but I cannot provide the floral arrangements for your wedding because Jesus Christ told me not to. Yeah, because it was indeed a same-sex wedding.
Yeah.
And so I certainly questioned on last week's show. I was not able to find in the Bible where Jesus commented on floral arrangements, but I'm a gay Jew, so... if you know more than I do, you should tell me.
He'd probably say, give him the flowers.
Give him the flowers.
Give him the flowers.
Not the fig tree, though, because Jesus condemned a fig tree to death in the Bible. That I do know.
Oh.
Yeah. But give flowers.
Give flowers.
Give flowers. So, I have to say, I was going to do some sort of archaic language and biblical language. One of the comments on the Huffington Post, I think I had some line about... because my whole premise, well, the start of the article was, I actually think blood donation is more important than marriage equality, but thankfully we don't have to choose between
right,
those.
Right,
I just actually think the life-saving thing is a little bit more important than where the life-saving is a bit more of a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really just a hook to get people to read it. And so I said, were the LGBT powers on high to ring me up and say, oh ye gay radio host, which issue should we choose? I would respondeth. And I was just being cute.
Yeah.
That was one of the comments of, please do not try to use correct archaic language if you don't know how. It shouldn't be respondeth. It should be. And I was like, really? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Great. If
oh,
that's,
wow.
If
there
that
was...
is, if that is it.
You were attacked by an anachronarch.
That's not a thing.
That is a thing. Yes, it is. In the world of historical recreation,
that can't be
a world a world where I have had much activity and belonging, anachronarchs abound, and they will nail you. They will nail you for things like that.
How might they spell the word fair?
It depends on the context. If you
As in a medieval and Renaissance fair.
Fair with an E on the end.
Look at that. We covered that probably back in 2009. We have to count how many shows you've been on. You might have an anniversary coming up. I don't know.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's
I don't
possible.
Know.
It's
yeah.
possible. You might have already passed that.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the poll. Should it be legal for wedding-related business owners to refuse to serve same-sex couples if it offends their personal religious beliefs? Your three choices are yes, no, and I'm not sure. Should it be legal? for wedding-related business owners. It's a gay poll. It was on a gay site, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, right.
64% believe that it should be illegal.
Right.
29% feel it should be legal, which is interesting. That's not a small number.
Yeah.
And, of course, my favorites, the independents, 6%. I'm not sure.
Right.
So there's that. Okay, so that was that poll. Anderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Cooper did an interview with Michelangelo Signorelli, and
okay.
he's got a show on OutQ. And I just love this quote. Anderson Cooper talked about being gay. He said, being gay, this is a quote, being gay is a blessing.
Hmm.
Isn't that nice?
Good. Yeah.
And he, quote, couldn't be more proud, end quote, of his sexuality. He said, I've always known I was gay from the time I was a little kid. I can't remember a time that when I wasn't aware of it, even before I knew what it was or the name of it. And he called it a blessing. He went on to say, if you feel like an outsider, you tend to observe things a lot more. Early on, I felt very much like an observer because I knew I was gay. I knew I was somehow different. If you learn the language of loss early, I think you seek out others who have experienced the same thing, who speak the same language of loss.
Mm.
And he was speaking about the 1988 suicide of his brother. Carter, did you know about that?
I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, so Anderson Cooper is a Vanderbilt.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. His mom is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh.
And
I,
so
gosh,
when
I did not know
when
that.
His brother, I think, I don't want to be salacious, but it was I choose not to be salacious, but
okay.
it was a very vivid New York City suicide.
Oof.
Back in 1988. I remember that being covered
wow.
on the
wow.
news. So anyway, so Anderson Cooper, I don't know. I like all of these things that he's saying.
Yeah,
I like
all
good. These things that he's
that's
saying.
Good.
We turn, as we always turn, Jody and I, to the wonderful world of education.
Mm.
Two education stories. Neither is good. Okay.
Uh-oh.
I was
Uh-oh.
Looking, which is the good one? Neither.
Okay.
The American Civil Liberties Union is threatening legal action against a central Pennsylvania school board.
Uh-oh.
Why, you ask, Jody?
I do ask why.
Surely they are doing something so advanced. Surely it is LGBT 201 and not LGBT 101. Surely it is about, and this is not to say that we should not be at the point where we are providing equal access for our trans students, but surely it's got to be, you know, on that level.
Mm.
No, it's not. Because that school board they have denied students' requests to form a club that would bring together gay and straight students.
Oh, come on.
I mean, come on.
Oh.
This is we can't say enough on this one because it's just so ridiculous. Or maybe there's nothing to say on this. The Chambersburg Area School Board, I think that there's a direct relationship between the number of syllables and some of the bad decisions that some of these school boards make, but I might be wrong in that. Someone do some research and get back to us. If your research is angry, then please send it to Jody at theshowsogay.com.
Mm.
The Chambersburg Area School Board, they last month voted 5-4, it was close, against a group of students who asked to create a gay-straight alliance. The ACLU says that's a violation of federal law. No freaking kidding.
Mm-hmm.
In a letter sent this week, the ACLU, they have said that the school district, they have until Friday to reverse its decision or face legal action. Without approval, the group can't use the school's morning announcement system, post flyers advertising their activities, or even hold fundraisers. Yeah. Now, here is the interesting piece.
Mm-hmm.
I am realizing right this second that I pulled this article from an anti-gay site. And I'm realizing it right this second because the next line in this article is, and I quote, so-called GSA clubs exist in many high schools.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So I did not pull this from theadvocate.com
no,
or anything
no,
like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
So I will read from this. That's funny.
Wow,
so-called
wow.
GSA clubs exist in many high schools. I think the lens of the website certainly contributes to how we interpret the story.
Mm-hmm.
The goal, and this is from the article, the goal is to provide a welcoming environment to gay students and supporters and work against bullying, which is a nice sentence, but so-called GSA clubs. But come on. All right. Maybe I'm going to make it a mission for next week's show to try to get the transcripts of the Chambersburg Area School Board meeting because what argument?
I don't know.
What argument?
I don't know. It also
was it a middle school? Are they saying they're too young?
I don't know.
Give me a break.
It also may be Chambersburg.
Oh, what do I say?
You're saying Chambersburg.
Oh, it's probably Chambersburg.
Yeah.
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 All right, whatever. Okay, and then in Tennessee, the latest version of Tennessee's infamous Don't Say Gay bill, which just keeps on going.
Oh, jeez.
There's a new amendment that's been proposed. The amendment would require teachers to tell gay students that they need a psychiatrist and literally hand them a referral.
Oh, my God. I think that is so illegal. That is so illegal.
But it doesn't. So here's the thing. It doesn't matter if Chambersburg, if they reverse their decision, the fact that they even hand down these decisions, it doesn't matter that this Tennessee amendment would fail. The fact that it's even proposed
is so insane.
This amendment would force teachers and school personnel who were approached by students talking about homosexuality to literally hand them a referral to a mental health professional. The amendment would remove from the House version of the Don't Say Gay bill the requirement that forces school teachers and administrators to, quote, out gay students to their parents, so yay, if they approach faculty members. I mean, that's crazy. It also calls homosexuality in the bill, it calls it, quote, a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
A measure in the works in the Tennessee legislature would bar school personnel from advising students on mental health issues, lifestyle choices, or other conditions or activities outside career and educational counseling unless they've been licensed as a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist. There is not a single person in the Tennessee legislature who is advocating for that, who has ever been a teacher, who has worked in education.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that right now, because if you truly have worked in education and you still can maintain that those boundaries are so clear of what constitutes a mental health issue and other conditions or activities outside career and educational counseling, good freaking luck.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work like that. I'm all for appropriate boundaries, but you must be kidding if you don't think that students are going to approach you with some of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teachers, counselors, and principals instead would be asked to give students a referral for psychiatric care if they bring up mental health or lifestyle issues. School districts would also have to train educators on how to handle such questions. Both the Tennessee House and Senate are debating various versions of the bill. Senator Stacey Campfield is the original architect of the Don't Say Gay bill, and his version is currently being debated in the Senate. I even can't read more, but whatever. Let's get our names. Let's name these people.
Wow.
Representative John Reagan is the chief sponsor of the House version and proposed a psychiatric referral amendment for the House version. We're looking up John Reagan, who has never worked in education, I guarantee it.
No way.
Reagan made national news last year after waiting just one day after the suicide of a gay Tennessee teen to write a constituent telling her that a gay person is not, quote, mentally healthy adult human being.
Whoa.
That is what's going on in the great state of Tennessee. So there's that.
Wow.
So there are many ways to get in touch with Jody and I. You can send us an email. As always, you know it. If it's happy, send it to ken@thisshowisogay.com. If you're being critical or want to wish her a happy birthday, or if you somehow can combine those two things into one email, that'd be awesome. Save the internet. Send just one email. Send that to jody@thisshowisogay.com. You can stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com, and right there on thisshowisogay.com, you can see upcoming guests. And we actually have a really, really fun show next week. I talked about this a little last week that I was excited for something, but now I can actually say what it is I'm excited for.
Mm-hmm.
And on next week's show is author, director, and actor Luke Yankee. And Luke Yankee's mother was, because she passed on, Eileen Heckert. And Eileen Heckert, do you know Eileen Heckert?
I think I do.
Eileen Heckert was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She's been in a ton of things. She was a recipient of Oscar. She won an Oscar. She won an Emmy. I think she won a Tony. She is just one of the greatest character actors. So Luke wrote this book about his mom.
Hmm.
And I am tearing through this book. I have to tell you all, you must, even before I'm going to say it next week, but you have to pick up this book just outside the spotlight. And it's all about his mom. And Elvis just stole her newspaper. That's the chapter I'm on. I mean, Elvis literally was taking her newspaper every morning. He was sending out one of his minions on the sets of something or other and was stealing her newspaper. It's just an incredible book. And I'm, you know, Luke and I will talk about this next week, but I fear that there are a lot of folks who are just not going to know any of these people he's talking about, but because some of that knowledge just gets lost as we, Jody and I, probably can't name a lot of silent film stars, you know,
right,
the information
right,
just
yeah,
gets,
yeah.
unfortunately, it gets lost. But the book is incredible and speaks of a different time and a time that you kind of long for. But so Luke Yankee will be on next week's show.
Cool.
And of course, go to the Facebook and you can like us there. That is pretty much it for this week's show. Get out there, folks. Go do some incredible things. Please, please stroll on over and sign that petition. Sign that petition. It takes you about a second and a half. You just have to register and then you sign it and then you share it, which is really where it all goes down. And hopefully we can get the White House to issue some sort of response to this really archaic, fear-based, not really medicine-based ban.
Yeah.
That would be great if we could get the White House to comment on that. So you could do that, or you could start your own. Don't start a competing petition, because that you know, start a petition on something else.
Start
a petition on something else. There's just so many different ways that you all can get involved and use your voice in the way that you know how to use your voice. So go do that. Our thanks, of course, to Ash Beckham, who was on the show earlier. It's just so funny how that came about, because part of what I was going to cover with you in the news segment was what we talked about earlier in the show of Ash Beckham's video. And so I was sitting around thinking, okay, I could play this video. Why don't I just reach out to this person and see if we can get Ash to comment on it? So I just have to say that I love that we live in a world where we can do things like that. So our thanks to Ash Beckham for her words and that great video that has been seen at this point 330,000 times on YouTube. So check that out and share that, because Ash has some great things to say about the word gay. Hmm. I think that's pretty much it. That's it.
Okay.
That's it for this week's show. Get out there, folks. Go do some amazing things. Use your voice the way you know how to use your voice to make a difference in this world. And of course, while you're doing that, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you're with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. My honeysuckle rose. Flowers droop inside when you're passing by. And I know the reason why. Your much sweeter goodness knows. You're my honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's so sweet when you stir it up. On the avenue, people look at you, and I know just why they do. The goodness knows you're my honeysuckle rose. Rose. Oh, flowers droop inside when you're passing by.